Your live. Cross, what does it say? I'm live? Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov. God is good all the time. Praise the Lord. Angela, it's good to see you. Good to see you. You've been sending me some, encouraging messages. Angela, like, I'm fired up. Pastor, I'm fired up. Thank you, though. I appreciate it because it's good to be encouraged.
Yeah.
Hey, brother, what's your name again?
Tony Townsend.
I heard the first name. What's the last name?
Townsend.
Okay, that's easy. You're not related to Greg Townsend.
I'm sorry?
You're not related to Greg Townsend.
No, but same city.
Same. Oh, okay. All right. Good. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we were at the Raiders in 84 together. Yeah. All right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We are going to have, I was going to name this a big boy rapture study. But because Abigail is more refined than me, she said, let's call it a mature rapture study. I said, why, thank you, Abigail. That sounds better. Okay? So thank you. As we approach this year, the 120th year in this year, 2020, And God revs me up because I got a message from the Lord. Says, I want you to preach this, almost as if you don't know the people. They've never heard of you. This is your first time speaking. OK. And so I can't bring into account what's gone on before. I can only preach and be obedient to what God is telling me to speak. OK.
Yeah.
One of the big things that we need to learn as born again believers is how real God is. Okay. And God was telling me this morning to tell you how much he loves you and to tell you how real this war is. Okay. Because he loves you, but he wants you to know this is real. Okay. And he's done things in our history, in our past, prophesied things so that you understand that he's in charge and this is real, okay? Because as me and Pastor Ben have been following this since 2004, we have gotten an education. We didn't know all of this stuff before we started, but we have gotten an education. Not just on what's going on behind the scenes as far as what evil people are doing, because we can see that. You can go on YouTube right now and see the latest Illuminati news. It's like, but we want to know what God is doing, okay? Because we want to know that this is real, okay? And if we could get out of Christians' minds that this is a religion and you've been called to be a good Christian till you leave earth, which is so false, right? This is a relationship with God. You're part of a war. It's about to happen, and God wants you to be ready, okay? So I want to show us a couple of things. We're going to talk about Revelation chapter 17, because God already did that for us. Revelation chapter 13, God already prophesied that. Okay. Hosea. Now, Revelation, what that book is finished around 96 A.D. So about 96 years after Christ's birth, you have the book of Revelation finished. Okay. But the book of Revelation is talking to you about the end time events that's going to take place. And God specifies a few things so that you know that God is real. Okay, let's get going. You see on the board I have there? I'm going to go to Revelation chapter 17. And I did it again, Pastor Ben.
Yeah.
You left. I can
get my glasses. They're either in that pocket or the other side. No, no, the little pocket's on the side. Oh. That's my new Christmas bag.
Man.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I keep a lot of books in there, huh, Pastor?
Yeah.
Okay. So, if you can get to Revelation chapter 17, that would be absolutely beautiful. And you guys are going to get an education, because this is a very mature study, because God really wants you to know that he's in charge, okay? What you're seeing going on is not, you know, the Illuminati is taking over and we better pray and hopefully we get raptured. No, God's in charge. Satan's about to get his butt kicked. We can be that confident, okay?
Amen.
So let's be confident in what God is doing. So if you're in Revelation chapter 17, I want us to begin. And it says, verse 1, it says, one of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and said to me, come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her, the kings of the earth commit fornication. Okay? And the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adultery. Okay? Now, since we've studied this and we realize that the inhabitants of the earth is a compound word that means those who have been thrown down and who have fallen and are now dwelling amongst us. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when it says the inhabitants of the earth, it's not talking about human beings. It's talking about there are entities that live in the earth that God did not create to be here, okay? Because I want you to know, he's saying the inhabitants of the earth. And let's not get too deep. Let me continue. Okay. And it says, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adultery. Whose adultery? The great prostitute, okay? And it says, then the angels carried me in the spirit into a desert. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names. And she had seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold and precious stones and pearls. She had a gold cup in her hand filled with abominable things and the filth of her adultery. This title was written on her forehead, Mystery Babylon, the mother of prostitutes and the abominations of the earth. Who is that woman? Who knows? Who's that? Who is that woman? It is the Rome. It is the Vatican. It is the Catholic Church. Okay? Now, why does God want you to know that Rome is the centerpiece of the corruption that's coming out of the world? Because Rome was governing the world. It did not get conquered. It fell into many different places. And now Rome is coming back. But the center of Rome is the Vatican. Okay? Now, if you see up here, this is the Vatican. This is Rome. Now, the scripture says they will be arrayed in what colors?
Scarlet.
Purple and scarlet, which is red and purple. You see that? So how did God, did they pick the colors because they read the Bible and said, oh, God wants us to wear purple and scarlet?
No.
Or did God already know when he wrote the scripture that these are the colors that they would pick in the Vatican, okay? Now, if you don't know a lot about the Vatican has one of the richest, because I don't know about the Beast Bank, if it's over the Vatican or the Vatican's over it. But The Vatican has, there's the Vatican Bank. Just like we have the Federal Reserve, there is the Vatican Bank. Much richer than the Federal Reserve, much richer than Lloyd's of London. The Vatican is a very wealthy place, okay? It is a center of satanic worship. I know they tell you it is a Christian place, and the Pope's a good Christian. If you have a pastor and he loves the Pope, run. Get to the next local church that has been reading the scriptures and knows better, okay? Because Catholicism, from its root, is not Christianity, okay? There is no way in the world that God would allow you to be a part of a religion that kneels down and worships idols.
That's right.
There's no way God would allow you to do that.
Amen.
Okay? In the Vatican, all kinds of things are going on that you would not want to be to know, but I will send you, if you want to hear it, a young lady who grew up in an Illuminati family who said she went to the Vatican to experience in the basement of the Vatican child sacrifices. So I want you to know the Vatican is pure evil, okay? And God says it is responsible for the abominations of the earth, okay? Things that are happening on earth, they are in the control of one of the biggest banks in the world. And you need to understand and know this. Now, God already wrote this in 90 AD. It's already written. The Catholic Church isn't even invented yet. You understand? So God already knew where it would be and what would be going on there. Okay? Why do you need to know that? Because you need to know this isn't an accident. God already prophesied it was going to happen. So the God that you serve already knew it was coming. Okay?
Amen.
Let's go over to Revelation chapter 18 and begin to read. What I'm doing today is I'm educating you so that you understand the God that you serve. Now it says here, now Mystery Babylon, because this woman is going to be judged. You understand? During the tribulation, the Vatican is going to be judged. Matter of fact, God said in 1 hour, he's going to burn up the whole place. Okay. Now, this is what the scripture says here in Revelation chapter 18. It says, after this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons. Who is Babylon? Who is Babylon the Great? That's the Vatican. It has become a home for demons and a haunt for evil spirits, a haunt for every unclean, detestable bird. For all the nations have drank the maddening wine of her fornication. The kings of the earth with her, the kings of the earth committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxury. Now, I had a picture. All of the top companies met at the Vatican last year, I believe, to get instructions from the Pope concerning future events. So the Vatican finances these buildings, these companies, and so you have to understand where it's coming from. Now, this is the part I wanted to get to. It says in verse 4, then I heard another voice from heaven say, come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sin, the Catholic Church, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sin has piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Okay? Now listen. God says to anyone who is in the Catholic Church, come out from amongst them. Because of what reason? He said, because judgment is coming on that place. Okay? judgment. And he says, so that you do not share in their sins. What are their sins? Bowing down and teaching people to worship idols. Okay? So God is saying, come out of there. He's telling people to come out of the Catholic Church. But the Catholic Church is a masquerade to let other people think that they actually believe in Jesus Christ and all of these things, right? But from the root, it doesn't, okay? That's your first education. I wanted you to know that. Now I want you to go to Revelation chapter 13. Okay. Now, do you see this picture up here? This is the Mark of the Beast technology is here. This happened in about 2004, 2006, Pastor Ben, when they changed the barcodes. They changed the barcodes. There used to be a dash. Like when you purchase something, it has this barcode on it. My friend, before, because he's working at a store that used to scan these, right? And he noticed that it was no longer a dash, then the purchase number, then dash, then the company number, then another dash. He noticed that it had changed from 6-6 to 6. And this was about 2004, 2005. Well, I immediately brought it to Pastor Ben and said they changed the barcodes that the separation is 666 instead of dash, 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 right? So then they came out about 2006. They start introducing RFID technology and being able to put a chip in you and that chip having all of your information on it, right? And so now they have people that are in different companies around the world that are gladly taking a chip for the company so that they can enter the building or buy snacks with just a swipe of their hand, right? Obviously, they haven't read the Bible, right? But you need to understand this technology. Let's look at here. Let's look at this. This just came. This just was really starting about 2004, 2005, right? Now, in Revelation chapter 13, are you in verse 15? Let's go to verse 15. Okay. I'm trying to find it too. Okay. He was given power, talking about the Antichrist, to give birth to the image of the beast so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark. Listen, the Greek, if yours says on, the Greek is in. It says to receive a mark in their hand or in their forehead, okay? And I have a Thayer's Greek lexicon, which is, I think, every Christian should get if you're going to study Greek, because it gives you the whole history of how they translated the scriptures. And they want you to know we translated this from Hebrew. And when they use the word be, which is means in Hebrew, they translate it as this, in your left hand or in your forehead. Okay, so now with this chip, it says this. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in his hand or in his forehead so that no one could buy or sell unless he has the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay, this calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. So he's telling you a technology just reached us around 2004. God told you in 90 AD that's coming. You won't be able to buy or sell nothing without it. So the God you serve already knew that was coming. Okay? So I'm not in a panic. And I'm not taking it.
Right.
Now, the other thing that you guys don't know that we know here at S4C, because we've been here a while, another company took over that company so that they can add a foreign DNA into the chip. So when you take the chip, that the DNA that's in the chip will replicate in your body and you will be half Nephilim, half human. That's why God says if you take the mark, you can no longer be saved because you're no longer fully human. So their thing is they want to ruin the fact that God created you and make you something else so that you are no longer eligible for salvation.
Right.
You understand? Because God's not resurrecting any Nephilim. So they want to ruin your DNA. All right. Now, God gave you this and this in 90 AD. Okay. So he already knew. Okay. I want you to know that the number 666 is from Genesis when Satan tells Eve that you will, if you eat of it, you will be like God. The word Ki Elohim is 666. It's the first numerical 666 in the Bible is Satan telling Eve, if you eat of it, and he uses this word, you will be Ki Elohim. You will be like God. Mm-hmm. Okay? And God numerically valued that word as 666. This is his sin. This is the sin that he brought into the world. This is why he has the number. The number, well, let's get going.
Amen.
Let's get going.
All right.
Okay. So it's nothing to play around with. That is Satan's number. If somebody says, oh, take it, it's really a wonderful number. You... and people do it. Okay. Now I'm going to educate you on something else. Let's go to the book of Hosea. Hallelujah. We're going to be in chapter 1. Ooh, okay.
Someone said 666 is also www.
Exactly. That's VVV, which is your monster drink for all you people who love the monster drink. That is not the claw. That is three sixes in Hebrew. So stop with your monster drinks, which have killed so many people. You should just Google, like, how many people have died from drinking monsters? And they will send you a list.
What?
Okay? Because people have died. Take it. Because it is your heart's not made for that chemical. You understand? It's not coffee. You got to tell people sometimes. It's like, oh, it's a monster drink. Give me energy. There's not no coffee in there. You need to understand that. And on the side of it, it says, release the beast.
Right.
And Christian's standing in line. Two, please. We have to educate ourselves, okay? I am very sorry. I have to go to Genesis chapter 10 before I go to Hosea because we have to educate ourselves. This is a mature Bible study so that you guys understand. Okay.
Daughter of the King said that that drink cleans metal.
Wow. Well, Coke cleans your Coca-Cola will get the rust off your batteries. So all of it's bad, girl.
Yes.
Okay. I asked us to go to Genesis chapter 10, right?
Yes.
Okay. I almost forgot. See, Pastor Ben, we are getting older.
Amen.
Okay.
Yes, you are.
No. Yeah, he said, yes, you are. Okay. Now listen, in Genesis chapter 10, if you look at the top of it, it says the table of nations. Does your Bible say that?
Yes.
Okay. If it doesn't, it's just like some Bibles will title you what this chapter is about.
Yes.
This is the table of nations because God, the flood has happened and God has dispersed. He wants to disperse the world. Or is this after the flood? Yeah, this is after the flood. Now God wants to disperse the people out into the world. So he's creating nations, okay? And he wants these nations to expand throughout the world, okay? So he creates 70 nations and he gives you the names of the nations and he gives them all languages, all right? So he can be Jesus or Yeshua or whatever, right? This is the argument there. So here it goes. Let's look at this. It says, the account of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And these are Noah's sons. Out of one man, God created all nations. What man is that? Noah, not Adam, okay? I want you to understand that. When that scripture says, out of one man, God has created all nations, he's talking about Noah. Because out of his three sons, God's going to create nations, okay? It says, Ham, Japheth, and he says, Noah's sons, who themselves had sons after the flood. The sons of Japheth was Gomer, Magog, Madai, Tubal, Meshech, and Teras. The sons of Gomer was Ashkenaz, Rephanah, and Targoma. Now, what is an Ashkenazi Jew? Do you guys ever heard the term Ashkenazi Jew?
Yes.
Okay. An Ashkenazi Jew is a Jew who has returned to Israel from the European area. Okay. So the European area in Genesis chapter 10, because Japheth is the father of the Caucasus people. Okay. So that whole area we're talking about, this is the Caucasian European area. And we're telling you that, and God is letting you know that Gomer, Ashkenaz, what's Magog? Russia, right? Targoma's Turkey. He's saying I'm giving you the ancient names of all these nations that are going to be in the future, but I want to give you the ancient names so that you'll know what's going on, okay? So, an Ashkenazi Jew is someone who has come from Europe. What is Gomer? What is the root for Gomer?
Russia.
Germany. So Gomer is the ancient name of Germany. You understand? Now we can go to Hosea. God's going to announce punishment on the nation of Israel. So let's start at verse 2. Hosea 1, verse 2. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go take to yourselves an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness. He's telling Hosea to do this because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord. So he went and married who? Gomer. What's the ancient name for Gomer?
Germany.
So God wants you to know, I'm announcing your punishment, and I'm going to tell you where it's going to take place. In Ashkenaz and in Germany. Okay? Now, as I'm reading this, I'm looking at the book of Hosea, was written 786 B.C., and God's already talking to you in Hosea about a punishment that's going to happen in a nation called Gomer, which will be Germany 148 years after Christ, right? Or whenever the Holocaust happens, or 139 years after after Christ. So here we, 1939 after Christ. So he says this, departing, he said, so he married Gomer, the daughter of Deblib, and she conceived and bore him a son. The Lord said, call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel. And I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day, I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel. What is the valley of Jezreel called today? Armageddon. Okay? So God is letting you know something's going to happen in Jezreel. But he continues going. He says, Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. The Lord said to Hosea, call her Lo-Ruhamah. Thank God for my Hebrew. Not no mercy. So in Gomer, Israel is going to receive no mercy. Here we go. For I will no longer show love to the house of Israel, that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to the house of Judah, and I will save them, not by bow. sword or battle, or by horse or horsemen, but by the Lord their God. After she weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. Then the Lord said, call him Lo-Ammi, or Lo-Ammi, which means not my people. So God's saying, your punishment is going to be in Germany. I will show you no mercy, and you will not be my people there. Okay, because God's announcing the place where the punishment is going to happen. So black people don't have to say we're the true Jews because you weren't there.
Right.
These are some weird things going on these days. Okay, let's continue. It says, then the Lord said, call him Lo-Ammi, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the Israelite will be like the sands of the seashore. So God turns around and says, but I'm still going to bless you, which cannot be measured or counted in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people. They will be called the sons of the living God. So in Megiddo, God said, you're going to be called not my people, but in the future, you're going to be called the sons of the living God. That means God's going to rescue and bring them back, right?
Yeah.
So God's not through with Israel. The people of Judah and the people of Israel will be reunited, and they will appoint one leader, which will be Jesus, Yeshua, and will come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel, because the day of Jezreel is the day of Armageddon.
Wow.
And when Jesus lands, Israel will be forgiven and they will be called back. Now you're my people again. Mm-hmm. You understand? But listen what your God just did. He already told you where the punishment was going to happen. 786 BC, Hosea is written. Does this sound like our God is out of touch?
No, not at all.
Or that he has everything in control, and he has... I wanted to talk to one of our Jewish friends, very intelligent man. I wanted to talk to him, and I asked him this question. I said, isn't it strange that in 1917, Israel... The Balfour Accord announced Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. And then exactly 50 years later, 1967, Jerusalem was declared to belong to the Jews. And exactly 50 years later in 1917, President Trump announced that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. Doesn't that strike you as being strange? And he said, are you going to start talking about Jesus? Because when God puts a blinder on you, you can't see. He said, blind these people so that they will not see, that they will not turn, or lest they might repent and come to me, and your Jesus won't get crucified, and then they won't be. But the blinder is going to be released off of Israel.
Yes.
Okay? But witnessing to a Jewish person is very hard, okay? That seemed to me like, I would have been like, is that true? Let me look at that. He said, are you going to talk about Jesus? Okay, so God just announced in the book of Hosea that he's going to punish Israel in Gomer, and then all of these guys, they return back to Israel when? 1948, from where? Ashkenaz, Germany. Okay, let's look at this. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 25. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you.
Wait a minute.
I like honesty. Thank you.
Sound like Ryan.
Okay. Now, I want you guys to be good students, because, you know, this is what you guys miss when you go to a church like I went to when I grew up. Mm-hmm. You get no education about who God is.
Right.
You get a good time and good dancing and you go home, okay? But it's very good to know that your God is real.
Yeah.
You understand? So watch this as we read this, okay? 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 8. And it says, on the seventh day of the fifth month, in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, commander of the imperial guard, an official of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He set fire to the temple of God, the royal place, and all the house at Jerusalem. Every important building he burned down. The whole Babylonian army, under the commander of the imperial guard, broke down the wall around Jerusalem. Okay? In what year after Nebuchadnezzar became king did this happen in Jerusalem? The 19th year. The 19th year. Why is this so important?
That's when they got back to Jerusalem.
Because Israel came back into the land in 1948, but they didn't have Jerusalem till when? 1967, which is what? 19 years. So that means they fell 19 years apart, and God brought them back into the earth 19 years apart. Does it seem like our God is out of control? Since he can do something 2,520 years earlier in 19 years, and then do the same thing 2,520 years later and do it in exactly the separated time of 19, which is the numerical value for 19 is kadosh, which is holy. So he does this 19 years apart. He destroys Israel 19 years apart. The temple is destroyed 19 years after they go into Babylon. And then God says, you're going to be punished for 2,520 years. And you can do the math and I'll do it with you. Exactly from that time to 1948, May 14, 1948, fulfilled the time that they were punished. And they were back in Israel.
Yes.
And then God said, oh, but I didn't destroy Jerusalem till 19 years later. So I have to wait 19 years before I've given back Jerusalem. So your God said, let me wait 19 years so everything works out perfect. And then 19 years later, they got back Jerusalem. So is your God out of control, out of touch? Is he out of, is somebody else controlling things, or is your God, the same God that's doing this, lives in you?
Yes.
The same God that is controlling the whole world came to reside inside of you when you asked him to be your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
So you are not a part of a religion.
Right.
This has been going on a long time. This is a 6,000 year plan for marriage. And you're trying to treat this like Buddhism or Islam. Or you can, there's no other book in the world that has prophecy in it.
Amen.
There's no prophecy in them. You understand? I've read the Quran. I'm telling you, there's no prophecy in it. But God is like, this is how you're going to know it's me. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen before it happens. And then when it happens, you'll know that I'm God.
Yes.
And then once you know that I'm God, once you get a bill, you'll start crying and go, oh, you must not be God because I don't even be here. And that's the truth.
It's the truth.
We forget who we serve.
Yes.
We forget that the Son is there because the God that lives inside of you put it there.
Right.
This electric bill, I just don't know what I'm going to do, God. How are we going to go in our life? Instead of saying, Lord God, I know you real.
Right.
This ain't happening.
Right.
Take over in this situation. You know I'm your child. Right? And then do like this.
Right.
And I'm waiting.
And I'm waiting. That's right.
And it will happen.
It will.
Did you? I think we shared this testimony. The guy that said the Lord told him to stop at the supermarket and told him exactly what to buy. And then God told him, now go to that house right there and give it to that person. And the lady was waiting there. They didn't have no food for the kids or nothing. And this guy brought groceries. And she said, I was sitting here praying and asking God to help me. And you came. Who are you? He said, I don't know. I was at the supermarket. I'm a Christian. And the Lord told me to buy this and to buy this. And to bring, and then I'm driving by. He says, that's the place. Take it to her.
Yeah, he will.
The same God that said, oh, by the way, go by the river. There'll be a fish. There's some money in his mouth.
Okay. Pay your taxes and mine.
We have to understand who we're dealing with. Do you understand?
Yeah.
This is why you want to live in accordance with him. You want to be obedient. You want to be his best friend.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
You don't want to be out of touch with God because he's controlling everything.
Yes.
Okay, let's move.
Amen.
15 minutes.
All right. We only got 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to finish this on Wednesday. Let's go to Esther. Let's go to Book of Esther.
We actually have no minutes, but we've taken 15.
Ooh, child. Let's go to Book of Esther. Is that because we're waiting on the other church to come? They're not coming in until late, right?
Yeah.
A gender reveal.
What?
A gender reveal.
No, I mean, I know, honey. Straighten that up real fast. Because the couch is uncomfortable.
You know,
heat the dog out. Okay. Are you in the Book of Esther?
Amen.
Okay, let's go to chapter 9. Let's go to verse 5.
Amen.
Now, what's the story of Esther? What's the story of Esther? There's a king, okay? And this king has a bride, but like Israel, this bride is disrespectful and disobedient, right? He says, go tell the queen to come in so that I can show her beauty to all my friends. And she goes, I ain't coming. So the king says, all right, we can't deal with this because now everybody, all the women in the whole province is going to be saying, you know, you don't have to respect your husband. So they said, she said, I'm taking her queen, I'm taking her queen title, and I'm going to find a new queen, okay? Like God, Israel, hello. Disobedience, got to find a new queen. Here's the church, okay? So now God, this king now has this new bride, right? And this new bride, but he still has not forgotten about his people Israel, okay? Because this guy Haman decides he wants to try and kill every Jew in the province, okay? In all 27 provinces that the king owned. He said he came up with a plan that we can kill every Jew in the whole province,
yeah.
Okay? His wife Esther is the one who helps disclose this plot. So remember, when Jesus comes back, he's coming back with who? With his bride. You understand? And so the rescue happens with God and his bride, or with the king and his bride.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when he comes back, we just read in Revelation, it said that he'll have 7 horns and he'll have 10 crowns. And those 10 crowns are what? 10 kings that will be. Now we're going to see why the original place where this 10 was not the original. Moses was the original 10. But this is the second place where this 10 comes in. Let's read here. It says, the Jews struck down all their enemies with the sword, killing and destroying them. This is because they had warned them, hey, now you can go and fight because the queen let me know what was going on. Go and destroy your enemies. So the Jews went out and they're fighting. And it says, and they did what they pleased to those who hated them in the citadel of Susa. And the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. They also killed, who can pronounce that? No, I'm just playing. Okay. Okay. So that's now listen. Okay. One, the one with the D is 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The 10 sons of Haman.
Mm-hmm.
Who is Haman? He's the guy that's trying to kill all the Jews. He dies. And then he asked Esther, what do you want me to do with his 10 sons?
Damn.
The king said, she said, put them all on a loose and hang them publicly. So they all die, all 10 of them. What happened with Hitler? He died. What's the Nuremberg trial?
The 10 henchmen. Yep.
Hitler's top 10 henchmen got hung. After Hitler dies, his top 10 henchmen get hung. So he's trying to kill all the Jews, and then his top 10 dies.
Yep.
So now that would be enough, say, wow, God fulfilled that prophecy. But within the names, if you study a little Hebrew, You'll see what you see, jots and tittles. So God made jots and tittles. He took out, because every letter is a number, he took out the number 5707, which means 1947. Okay? Or 1946 for us, because the year changes for Israel in September. So for God to fulfill this, the trial not only has to happen, it has to happen after September, so it fulfills 5707.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So God says, okay, Hitler's already dead. They're going to have a trial, but we can't kill him until 5707, which is the year 1947 for 47 or 46 for us, but it'll be 5707 for the Jews.
Yeah.
So Hitler dies, his 10 henchmen died, and God put the exact year in Esther when it's going to happen. And so does it seem like our God is out of touch? He's out. So what's going on right now? Is the war still on? Is he still doing things? Or has God forgot about it? Has God bowed out and said, okay, I just don't know. It looks like this is the end times. I don't know what to do, so you guys handle it. Or you think God has already got a plan?
Yes.
That's what the rapture is. I'm trying to tell crazy people. The rapture is your plan, because the same way that God has a plan and God has a way to rescue you, Satan has a plan to destroy human beings.
Yes.
Satan has a plan because he knows that God is true. Mm-hmm. Satan knows that there will be 7 years of tribulation.
Yes.
He absolutely knows it. And so, as me and Pastor Ben have been going through this, see, the fact that the rapture didn't happen in 2010, well, Pastor Sandy, we're a false prophets. Dude, you're missing what we're trying to teach you.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, the rapture didn't happen in 2017. You're missing what I'm trying to tell you. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
You're in the last days.
Yeah.
And God is telling me, look, prepare these people to go.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm a watchman. If I was a prophet, I'd tell you, I'd get a tattoo. It'd say Prophet Sandy on the back, right? But I'm not. God never said you're going to be a prophet. He said you're a watchman. Okay? What's that is? If you see something coming, blow the horn.
Yeah.
I saw 2010 coming. I blew the horn. But if nothing happens, they're going to laugh at you. Jeremiah's like, I went through some stuff too. Do what God told you to do.
Right.
Everybody that God told to do something had to go through something.
Amen.
So welcome to the club, Pastor Sandy. So in 2017, now, let me tell you something about 2017. If you look at the study of 2017, there's no scientist that would have said, oh, this is it. This is a 6,000 year. And then 2017, what was going on in the world? Everything. Eclipse, red moons.
Yep.
Blue moons.
Yeah.
We were like, okay, something's going to happen, right? Nothing happened. May 14, 1948, 2018. This is the end of the 70th year. What happened? Nothing happened. Wow. Okay. So now, this is what I'm getting to tell you. God says, you're at the end of this now. 1948 is not the beginning of the last generation. The last generation began 1900. The last generation is the same as the generation that God warned Noah about. It's 120 years. So from 1900 to 2020 is the 120 years. The flood didn't come in 70 years. The flood came in 120. Jesus says it will be exactly as it was in the days of Noah. So now, I want to say welcome to the year, but somebody said, you know, it's not really the year until Nisan. It's not really 2020 in God's eyes until Nisan 1st, which is about February or March, right? Why is it so hard to us to believe that God has a plan and he doesn't want us playing church. You know why people become snakes and rob from people in churches and preach lies for money? Because they don't believe God is really involved.
That's right.
They can turn a church into a business because they don't see God as being real. This is nothing to play with. These are God's people. These are human beings that he died for. When I'm telling you this, when I'm telling you we need to be prepared and ready to go, I'm telling you what God wants you to know. Because at some time, we will all be sitting on a cloud, dancing away, praising Jesus, angels all around us, family members on the side. And then at that moment, maybe you'll go, Pastor Sandy, you weren't that crazy after all. But I don't want you to wait till then. I want you to live like God is trying to tell you something. There is absolutely no way in the world that me and Pastor Ben are supposed to have a church.
Right.
We didn't have the money to do it.
Right.
We didn't have a place.
Nothing.
I ain't never been, and I'm going to say ain't because I want you to know exactly uneducated I am. I ain't never been to ministry school. But I love the word of God. And God said, study Hebrew and I'll teach you the Bible. Don't go to ministry school.
Yeah.
I didn't go to ministry school at the direction of God.
Yeah.
He said, it's be a waste of your time. You learn Hebrew, I'll teach you the Bible because you need to prepare my people to leave.
Lord's church.
Now we have to have a church that we can preach this in without getting fired.
Right.
Because they tried to give us a church.
Yes.
And I'm not going to say the organizations, but they tried to give us a church. They wrote me a long letter. They said, all we have to do is turn in our messages before each Sunday. I'm like, well, what if you don't like the message? Then we'd be fired.
We'd be fired because they ain't gonna let me pray.
So we let God do it. No.
No, they wouldn't let me pray.
No, you would. They wouldn't let you pray. No, no way.
Let me in. Wait,
Pastor Ben prayed over some people, and they have stormed out. Like, you told him all my business. I said, I didn't even know you were coming. Who are you? So no, they would not let you pray.
Amen.
Look, I'm here for a reason, and I'm at the end of this mission. Someone told us, I wish you guys would take the word of God more serious. You're always laughing.
Oh, you got
I just
email.
Can't take it. And I'm like, dude, I am who I am.
Right.
You know what I mean? To me, life is weird and funny at sometimes, okay? And situations are weird and funny sometimes. And Pastor Ben was laughing like that when we were just doing film, okay?
Yes.
So I'm telling you, we can't change because this is the way God is. But I'm going to give you correct and true information.
Right.
And I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not a comedian. I just find that there are things that are ridiculous.
Amen.
Amen.
Like God Almighty put his spirit inside of you and you're hiding in a corner watching stuff that you're not supposed to watch because you think God don't see you. He's like, I put me inside of you.
Amen.
And the way we act as if God is not real. Sometimes we act like this is not, like there's not going to be a rapture. Okay, I told you I was going to bring Israel into the world. I'll bring them back into the world. I destroyed their temple, and I destroyed their second temple on the exact same day as I destroyed the first temple on the 9th of Av. Do you think that was an accident? So everything that God has done, he's already prophesied he's going to do, and then we act like he's not real.
Right.
And we talk to him like he's not real. And he is. And he loves us. Imagine you're... If I'm a billionaire and you're my kid, man, you got some good stuff coming.
Amen.
You understand? You got some great treatment. And man, I love you and I would die for you. So we should be confident in who we serve.
Amen.
You understand? Amen. Our God is real. And look, nothing's changed. The mission to the rapture, the mission to the wedding's been on since Genesis.
Yeah.
I didn't start this. God started this.
Amen.
I didn't start talking about a Gentile bride. God did.
Yeah.
He just put me in the game.
Right.
So it's going to happen. But while it's in progress, walk with confidence. Be like, be like Neo or that movie. Like, realize who you are. You understand? Mm-hmm. Realize who you are in Christ. Realize what obedience does for you while you're in Christ. Realize what you say out of your mouth has effect, because you're no longer just a regular being. You have God inside of you.
Yeah.
So all of these things have to play. That means God says what? To not conform yourself to the ways of the world, you got to study to change your mind, right? Because you're a different person. You're headed to a different place.
Yeah.
But people want me to play church, and I'm not going to play church with you. Nothing's changed. You're on your way out of here. We're living in the last days. So live like God lives inside of you, and live like you're on your way to the biggest ball that's ever been planned. Praise God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Man.
Hallelujah. Good.